This is Pastor Wayne Waycaster. I hope you enjoy the message that's about to come your way, and I hope it's a blessing to you, or I hope it's a conviction message that'll bring you to the knowledge of Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless you as you listen.
Jesus was moving about and over in the ninth chapter, I guess it is, the book of Matthew. If you want to look at it, it's about the 28th, 29th, maybe the 30th verse, and then down about 30th, verse 32. But nevertheless, maybe the Lord may let us go plumb on through the end of the chapter, but at least through the 28th verse. Verse 27, I guess we'll start with. Matthew 9, verse 27. 26. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, That see thou that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all the country. And as they went out, behold, they brought unto him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb man spake, and multitudes marveled, saying, It has never been so seen. It was never so seen in Israel. I want to stop there for just a minute, and I always caution folks: if you ask, you got to ask. You got to believe. You got to believe. Jesus said the same thing. He said the same thing to the blind men. Said, Do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they immediately they said, Yea, Lord. And that was a confirmation of their faith. Amen. They confirmed their faith in Christ, that he was able to perform that they asked of him. And there was no great big to-do about it. And, you know, there was no, he didn't have to spit and make up no mud and all of that. He did prior to this, maybe after this, but not at this particular time. And he just touched their eyes. And the Bible said immediately their eyes were open. Well, what did they do? They began to rejoice. And they went out of the house. When they departed from him, he charged them and said, Now, don't say nothing about this to anybody. But it wasn't that he didn't want people to know it. It was just the fact that he was trying to do a work. And the more that his fame went out, the more it encumbered his work. It wasn't that he didn't want people to know that they could do these things, but he just it hindered his work that God had called him to do. And then, as they went out of the house, they couldn't help but tell. I don't know what's happened to us in the world that we live in today, why we can't tell what Jesus done for us. Amen? I was blind, but now I see. I can't sing Amazing Grace in that verse without just bubbling over with joy. I couldn't see the right way. I didn't know what the right way was until he lifted the veil off of my eyes, and my eyes were open, and I could see it. Amen. And I've been praising God ever since, just giving God glory for opening my eyes to the grace of God ever since then. And then there was as they went out, there was a dumb man out there filled with devils. Boy, that was a picture of me. Amen. I was as dumb as a coal bucket, if you'll excuse the expression. But I was as dumb as dumb could be, and I was full of the devil. Amen. I was just full of the devil. But when the hand of God come by and touched me, and the Good Samaritan come by and spoke, and I listened to him, and I came to him, thank God my ears were opened, my tongue was loosed, and the devil disappeared. Thank God. Amen. The weight of sin just went away from me, and thank God I've been free ever since. And the thought that I had on my mind, you must believe. You can't even come to Jesus without believing. You can't. I know that there was an incident or two in the Bible when the man that lay on the bed, why, his faith didn't heal him, but their faith. Amen. But there had to be faith. There had to be faith there. He said, their faith has made thee whole. So take up your bed and walk. But let me tell you something today. Somebody has to have some faith in this thing. Church, we're the foundation of the faith tonight. Thank God we're the we are the expression of faith. The church is. And if we express our faith in God, then our faith will grow and it'll go out and it'll begin to grow in other folk, amen. They'll see the example of faith in us and they'll exercise that. And so we must first show our faith. Thank God when we come to pray. And I know that Sister Dorothy's been prayed for. She's been, folk have prayed for her around the altar and anointed her. And listen, she's here today. And I'm telling you, it's a blessing that she's here because she, at one time, Dorothy was in a low state, amen. In physical state, she was in a very physical low state in life. But the hand of God touched her because somebody had faith to believe that God would touch her. So we've got to believe, amen. He said, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that God has raised him from the dead, he said, thou shalt be saved. So you have to believe on the Lord, amen. And so that was one of the things that I got on my mind. You must believe, amen. And then another thing that I thought about was these blind men that came in the house where he was at. They went out after they had received their sight. And I don't believe they went out just shouting and rejoicing, but I believe they went out to find somebody that was in the same shape they were in, that they brought him to Jesus. They found a man that was dumb and full of the devil, amen, and they brought him to Jesus. You know why they brought him to him? Because they knew that Jesus could do this, that they could heal him of the disease that he had, the thing that he had that was troubling his heart, amen, and probably going to kill him. Well, let me tell you tonight, if there's sin in your life, it's going to kill you. It'll kill you. Because the Bible said when sin is finished, it brings forth death. So if you have sin in your life, it's going to cause you to die. And then death being interpreted is eternally separated from God. So you need to get saved. You need to get that devil and sin out of your life. So this man was full of the devil. Amen. He was full of demons. And he was a dumb man and couldn't talk. And so they brought him to Jesus. And Jesus healed him. Jesus healed him. You see, the faith that Jesus had connected with the faith that the two blind men had, and that faith erupted into faith that healed the dumb man that was filled with the devils, amen. And that's what it's going to take in the churches today. Is that faith being expressed and that it might catch from breath to breath, that our people may see the truth. The truth is, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Thank God, amen. Oh, and we're all time thinking about the physical. But did you know that those people that are out there in sin, they're blind? Did you know that they've got a death sentence pronounced upon them? Eternally being separated from God, that they've got a death sentence. But you and I that are saved by the grace of God, we're not going to die. We're going to live forever, thank God. Got eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. But it came by faith. For by grace through faith are you saved, and that not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. But it's the gift of God. Amen. See, so somebody can say, I don't have enough faith. You do have enough faith. You're letting the devil defeat you when you think you don't have enough faith, because God has imputed faith. And then when we work on that faith, on that imputed faith, that faith begins to multiply, it begins to grow, and then many things and many blessings come to our life because of faith. So we need faith tonight. You know, I think there was an incident in the Bible when a man said, I'll show you my faith without my work. But he said, I'll show you my faith with my work. And the Bible said faith without works is dead. So we must put something together, amen. We've got to learn to put things together in the right perspective in this Christian life that we may see the effectual work of God. Not that we may do anything, but that we may put the things together that God has ordained for us to, that God may work, amen. And He will work just as sure as we get things in order, amen. God will work. You can't see, God works when no man can hinder. We only let things hinder us. Things. And that's what hinders us from having the full joy of salvation. Amen. The holiness of the brothers talking about a while ago. The holiness of God in us. Something hinders that. It's a little three-letter word. S-I-N. S-I-N. That's what hinders holiness living, amen. It's S-I-N. Somebody said, well, now, wait a minute, preacher. It don't mean that everything that I do is sin. Let me tell you something. And I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says. And I know you don't like it. And I frown at it sometimes. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. A little hard to swallow, but you better be chewing on it. Amen? You better be chewing on it because it's the truth. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And when the devil was gone out of the dumb man, here we go again, the multitudes marveled. And what did they say? It was never so seen in Israel. And another place said, I ain't never seen it on this wise. Well, that's what he's saying here. We've never seen nothing like this. Nothing like this has ever been. Well, no wonder it hadn't. There had never been nobody like Jesus in Israel, amen. They'd been prophets, but nobody like Jesus had been there. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus died. And He was buried. And He arose and He ascended into the heavens. He's not here no more, but He's left some things in our charge. And He said, greater things than these shall you do. We've let lack of faith rob us of some great things that God wants to do. We don't have the power in our hands. I know that some denominational beliefs think that, but no man has the power. It's from God, amen. And the power is in prayer. The prayer of what? The prayer of faith that heals the sick. It's not the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands, the anointing of oil, is just an ordinance that God has set up for us to follow before we offer the prayer, amen. You remember when the walls of Jericho out there were some things that had to happen before the wall came down. And the last thing that happened is something that's gone plumb out of our churches today, amen. They marched, they blow the trumpet, they break their lamps and all of these things, but there was nothing happened until the shout went out, amen, and the walls came tumbling down. So, if you want to see some walls begin to crumble down in your life or in some things that you're praying about, shout a little bit, thank God, amen, and see what the hand of the Lord will do. God isn't any less today than He was in the beginning. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. He changes not. So where's the limitation? The limitation of God is in our faith today and our asking. We don't ask. But then when we get in such a peril in our life that we have to ask, then we ask amiss. We ask amiss that we might consume it upon our own lust. Lord, heal me. God, do this for me. That somebody may recognize me. No, bless God, I don't want to be recognized. You see, but that is the thing that's grab the world today. You see it every day, almost every day on your television sets, over your airways, you hear it. Amen. Men wanting to be recognized. Popularity. They'll meet their fate. They'll meet their fate. You can't use God, amen, as a spare tire. You can't do it. God won't allow that. These men went out and found something or someone that was in such a shape that nothing or anybody could do anything about. They brought him to Jesus. And Jesus healed his infirmities. And it amazed the multitude of hearers, the multitude of people that had gathered around. They were amazed at the work of Jesus Christ. No wonder the people are not amazed in the day that we're living in. We're not praying and we're not doing things in order that God has set up. Said when the devil, you know what keeps folk from speaking today a lot of times, and I don't mean just literally talking, but talking in the sense of Christianity, you know what keeps them from it? Because they're full of devil. And the only language they know is devilish, worldish. So when the devil's gone out, just like it was here, and said when the devil was gone out, the man spake. I don't think he just got up all of a sudden and began to speak a common language. I think the thing that came out of his mouth, and the Bible doesn't say it here, but I feel like it, because he was in the presence of the Almighty. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I believe praise began to come out of his lips. The first words probably the man had ever spoken. Praise began to come out of his lips. There's not much praise anymore, is there? We'll praise God a little bit in a song. Oh, and occasionally we'll raise our hand just a little bit. You don't hear much giving God glory. He said, clap your hands and rejoice. Oh, ye people, rejoice. But we've lost our joy, so we don't have anything to rejoice about. About the time we start to rejoice, we begin to remember all of the troubles. The devil will come in and he'll bring up all of the sorrow and the things in your life that's negative. Amen. It doesn't mean anything because you can't change it. It's all back under. See, that's all the devil knows about what's in your past. He don't know the future. He cannot tell the future. See, so he relies on the things that drug you down before, and he brings all of those up before us, and we just sort of like a dumb man, we just sit back and let him do it. Instead of beginning to rely on God and praise God, amen, while we just let the devil just deceive us and sweep over us and rob us of the joy of Christian living. See, we've got a great privilege as being children of God tonight. Amen. It's not just an occasion to come down to church. That's not Christianity. That's not what Christ was all about. You know what Christ was all about? Telling others about salvation. Telling others, amen, about the joy that he brings into our lives. That's what he was all about. And these men was full of it. The blind men, when they went out, they was jumping and praising God. Knew one crippled man that was crippled. And Jesus come by and made him whole. And you know what happened to him? He began to leap and to run and to rejoice. And he went into the temple praising God. I wonder, you see, the old song that we sing, and I know everybody that sings Amazing Grace gets such a great thrill out of singing the song. But did you know that it's got a reality in it? I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Thank God. Amen. I don't know how you get past that without rejoicing. When you sing the song, I don't know how you get past that part of it without rejoicing. Much less the remainder of the song. When we've been there 10,000 years, we'll have no less to live. Amen. Oh, glory to God. We ought to praise God tonight. And I mean praise Him openly, not just under our breath, but we ought to praise God openly, that we may be an example to the unbelievers. I mean, we ought to just give God a little praise outside the church once in a while. We ought to give God glory for the things that He's performed in our lives. The Bible said when they were departed out of the presence of Jesus. So to me that meant when they left the house of God or where Jesus was at, and Jesus is in this house, let me tell you that tonight. He abides here tonight because I'm here. And He's in me and I'm in Him. And so He's in this house tonight, and I'm thrilled about that. Praise God. Amen. And when they departed out of the presence of Jesus, you know the first thing they did was went out and began to broadcast what Jesus had done for them. Oh, there were skeptics all over, sitting all over the place. Lord, there's a bunch of them that didn't believe. A bunch of them wouldn't hear it. Said, oh, that's fake. It just couldn't have happened that way. But bless God, when this old dumb devil, a man that was in their presence, and they knew him, because the world knows their own. But when Jesus came by and changed his life, and he began to speak, they began to see the reality and that Jesus, the work of the Master, was real, amen. That's what the world is looking for today, the real work of God in our lives. Amen, not just the tongue flapping, but God, they want to see the real work of God in our Christian life. They've done seen too much fake. They've done seen too much mouth work. They want to see some example of Christ in the Christian's life today. I don't blame them. Bless God, I don't blame them. I want the genuine thing. Amen. I want some example of the real thing. Amen. They've got commercials about Coke is the real thing or something. But let me tell you something. That's not the real thing. The real thing is Jesus, thank God, and Him crucified. Jesus said, believe ye that I'm able to do these things or this thing. You know, the response is the same response that has to come from your lips and mine today, because the question is the same. Do you believe? The answer has to be the same today. Yea, Lord, I believe. Yea, Lord, I believe. And when that comes out, the devils have to leave. You have to be made free. Because Christians are not in bondage. Sinners, the world is in bondage today. Amen. I can remember very clearly how much bondage I was in. I mean, the things that I said, I didn't want to say. The things that I didn't want to do. I had a little morality. I had a little moral responsibility somewhere down deep in my heart. I didn't want to act like that. But I couldn't help it because I was in bondage. And the taskmaster wanted to lay the nasty thing, the terrible thing on me to do, to drag me down farther. But thank God, I praise God for the Good Samaritan that came by. Just before death set in, just before I died, amen, the Good Samaritan came by and he set me free. Thank God, amen. And I'm excited about that. I don't know whether you are or not, but I'm excited about being free from sin, thank God. Somebody said, well, you mean you don't sin anymore? I didn't say that. I do tell you that I've never sinned intentionally from that day till this, amen. Now, my flesh, see, I'm not as strong as a lot of folk are. My flesh still gets me in trouble sometimes. But I thank God for one thing. I learned to pray. I thank God, amen, that I learned to pray. And I learned how to pray and ask for forgiveness, amen, when I felt myself slipping away from my God. And I've said oftentimes, oh, how sweet it would have been if God had saved my flesh when He saved my soul. My battle wouldn't have been near as hard as it's been. But I have victory in Jesus tonight. Victory in Him because He paid my debt at Calvary. Thank God He paid my debt at Calvary on the cross. All of my sin debt. And I'm free. Thank God I'm free. I'm not in bondage anymore. The devil has left me. He's gone. He don't live in me no more. Oh, he comes up a knocking once in a while, but I don't let him in. I don't let him in. I have no room for him. He's an alien to me, and I don't want him in my life. Now, tonight, if you've not got such a relationship with God that you can resist him, then you're going to let him in. Then you're going to let the devil in your life. And you're going to be miserable. You're going to be a miserable person. But let me tell you something. The Bible said if you resist the devil, that he will flee from you. Amen. That's a great promise, isn't it? And some, I told somebody that one time. They come to me for counseling, and I said, you just got to resist the devil. They said, well, I just can't resist him. I said, oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. All you have to do is just exactly what Jesus done. Amen. He gave us the example. Amen. When he was being tempted of the devil, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. So you can resist him today. And he'll flee from you. Not always. And he won't stay gone always. And you may have to do it over and over and over again. But every time you do it, you'll get a little stronger in it. Amen. Right. Your commands for him to get out of your life and out of your way will be just a little bit stronger. And you'll have more power with God every time that you resist the devil. That's my message to you tonight. Don't know if it's any good to you, but it was good to me. Amen. And God told me to give it to you. So I'm going home to sleep now. I'm going to lay my head down and I'm going to rest. I wrestled with this enough, and I'm going to let you wrestle with it from now on. Amen.
You've been listening to Bob Elk Tennessee Preaching Podcast, and I'm producer Matthew Lawson. If you'd like further information about this message, or any of our previous messages, or information about Retown Community Church, you can go to www.retowncommunitychurchpodcast.blogspot.com. I would like to thank Rob Bible, our sound mixer, as well as blogger.com and archive.org for providing our hosting services. We do hope that you'll join us next time for another exciting message, and may God richly bless you.